Dallas people, you're stupid.
It's John and Lance.
That's stupid as crap. Dumb, wow. Dumb, dumb.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the club at Carlton Woods for the Chevron Championship. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
I don't know why. Why did I say Dallas was stupid? I don't believe it. Well, I believe it. Dallas, you're stupid. I think, I don't know what it had to do with, but I apologize to the city of Dallas. Not really. I'm not the only one that thinks they're stupid. Sean, did you see the video that I put in there? The Tillman video? So last night, I was like, oh my God. When I heard about this, I was like, well, you know, the Rockets are playing that night. They had a huge event at the Fertitta Center for the basketball team, for the Cougs basketball team, celebrating their Final Four and their championship game. And, you know, all the big wigs were there. A bunch of people showed up. It was great. I think they did, you know, auctioned off a lot of stuff and silent auctions and stuff, memorabilia, and to raise money for the program. And, you know, that's how you do it. You need and this team was so good. So fun to watch. Such a great team. Well, Tillman got up there, and here is the end of Tillman's speech there at the Fertitta Center last night.
I was in the White House, in the Oval Office, with the Prime Minister of Italy and the President last Thursday, and we talked about the Houston Cougars, I can promise you, for at least a minute and a half. And then we talked about that dumbass Luka Doncic trade that Dallas did.
Oh, how about that?
Could he get the name right of the player in question?
Luka. We don't need to. Who do we care? Why do we care about that?
We know what he meant.
That dumbass trade. That was Tillman?
That was Tillman.
How about the owner of the Rockets?
Are you allowed to do that?
Can you imagine what was
you allowed to say?
You can criticize the trade.
About another team?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
can you imagine?
And he's the ambassador to Italy. What are they going to do? Okay.
What was Trump saying about the Cougars?
I don't know.
What did Trump say about
the Cougars?
They're very bad at the end of games. The worst shot makers in the last 30 seconds. They shot so few shots. Very many turnovers. The worst turnovers.
No, I bet he loved
terrible turnovers.
They loved the way that they played. Physical,
I'm sure. Just
defense.
Wish they would have got a shot off in the last 90 seconds.
That would have been great. That would have been great.
It would have been cool if they took one shot.
But you know that's going to be on. He did mess up Luka's name, but that should be all over everywhere. That dumbass Luka trade. And you know what? So the owner now of the Mavs is doing a little bit of a turn on Nico. He was squarely behind Nico, and now he sees how wildly unpopular Nico is. Nico,
doesn't this seem like a movie? By the way, John, doesn't it seem like now you see there's a weak, you know, there's a weak, a sick gazelle in the herd, and now you're just going to let the lions get it? That's what it feels like. It feels like he's like the owner helped make that decision, and now that he sees that Nico's a dying animal, he's just going to turn on him and let everyone feast on him. And
this
feels like something from Game of Thrones or something, to be honest with you.
You can't bring back the guy who traded away that everybody in the crowd is chanting how he's got to be fired. As much as you'd want to stay behind that guy, listen, if he'd have done it, he could have got, how many draft picks would they have given up? Of course, the Lakers don't have any draft picks. I mean, it would have had to have been in 2038.
Or
right?
A three-team trade, or you just don't trade with the Lakers. You could have gone someplace else.
Anything but what he did. I mean, it's unforgivable what he got in return for Luka Doncic. It's unforgivable.
I'm assuming you didn't read the ESPN article that Tim McManaman, I think it was, wrote about how that went down. And it's kind of weird. You know, it's Luka, it's the people around Luka, Luka's personal assistants. He started getting rid of them. Sounds like Nico Harrison just got really paranoid, and it kind of became personal with him and Luka. You know, we laughed about that weird Michael Finley snagging a beer away from Luka, but I think there was something like, it seemed weird because Luka didn't have a laughing, joking look on his face, and Michael Finley wasn't playing when he took the beer away from him when they were celebrating. And that was just a weird moment, and it kind of gives you some insight into how the organization felt about Luka.
Yeah. No, I listen, and you can feel any way you want about him, but don't do what you did. I mean, it seemed like it was personal. I just got to get rid of this guy. And so dumb. I mean, you ruined your career. Who can hire now? He gets fired by the Mavs. Who the hell would hire Nico Harrison?
Oh, especially he's going after on these... ESPN.
Oh, I don't know. You make a mistake like what? That.
He's
I don't know.
Former, he's a former NBA executive. He'll get
we'll
on there
see
somehow because he ain't gonna work in the league. He can't work in the league.
No, he's. I think that's the deciding. I mean, that's his legacy. And bad man, is that a bad legacy?
If he's fine with the derision that will come from being a public figure, he can go work on ESPN. I mean, jokes will be made about him all the time.
Yeah. And then they'll go
every
away.
Every personality
though.
Who rolls through there will have a Nico. No matter what I do, I can't do as bad as you did. Something like that will be part of his bit while he's on.
Dan Orlovsky still deals with stepping out of the end zone. I mean,
yeah.
He's fine.
Yeah. Last year, who stepped out of the end zone like that? Somebody did.
And then Orlovsky said, yeah. And then they brought Dan Orlovsky.
How could you possibly do that? Jalen Green. Sean, we got some sound. Jalen Green was awesome. Now, this is the outlier as far as Jalen Green goes versus the Warriors. But Jalen maybe had too much adrenaline going in game one. Because he addressed his game one versus his game two. Here's Jalen talking about the lights being too bright in game one.
That first game, you know, the lights were bright. The crowd was here. The court looked huge. I couldn't really get a chance to, you know, settle in. My legs was a little shaky. But, you know, that's part of it. Went through it and, you know, I feel like I did a good job answering back.
He did. He defended well. How about he got after Steph Curry, stole the ball away from him and locked them up with some jump balls two different times. That was awesome.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Went for 38 last night. Do you remember how many he scored in game one?
He was 4 for 15.
10?
3 for 15. He was 3 for 15, wasn't he?
He scored 7. For a total of 45 points. If you divide him by 2, that's 22.5. Jalen always finds his level. No matter how he gets there, he'll get there. He was great last night, and we didn't think about it beforehand. We thought inexperience, how that play into it. And the guy himself said the lights are too bright, at least for a night. I'm surprised that he would be so open about it because normally players won't give you that, but. He said he was overwhelmed.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it acceptable? Is it acceptable that he plays one crap, one good, one crap, one good? It'll get you to a game 7.
For now. I mean, for now it is. It's part of his process. Look, Dell, he was very – you heard that when he was talking to Taylor Rooks, and bless that child, she is going pretty good. But you heard what he said to her when
–
He was like, I wasn't playing defense. I wasn't giving enough energy. He was very self-aware. He was very honest. And that level of self-aware I was so excited to hear that because when you have somebody who admits their faults and their mistakes and they take account, that's a personal accountability that is rare. I'm still working on my kids on that. But when you have somebody like, he just said, I wasn't doing this. That's how you know you have total buy-in with the head coach. There's no defensiveness. He's like, that was a problem, and I'm trying to fix it. So it's not a surprise to me that he said, the lights did seem too bright. It was a team full of a ready-made former championship team that took out a younger team. I mean, there's some veterans on there who had never been through it. That's what game one looked like. Game two looked like a mentally tough team who didn't settle for bad shots. They kept their energy level high throughout the game. They didn't really dip energy-wise, except when you should never let somebody with number 61 and white undershirt and a mustache and buzz cut get 9 points and a quarter on you. Spencer should never have scored 9 points
and
a quarter.
And what about Post?
Wearing number 61.
What about Post?
Yeah,
they
do not have a good roster. They do not.
No.
Without Jimmy,
no,
you're right.
But dude
without
was knocking
Jimmy Butler,
out threes.
We better cook them. I'm hoping Jimmy's injury is a complete season ender for him.
Okay.
Which means this series.
Well,
which
they had
means this series.
They had they don't like playing Kuminga, and they're forced to because of the injury. And they traded away guys to bring in Butler, so they lack depth, and that's why you got Pat Spencer out there and Guy Santos, and obviously Quinn Post has become their stretch five. That's a team that doesn't have a lot of talent. And Buddy Hield doesn't do anything. He doesn't provide anything. He would be the other guy for them, and he's not that guy.
Hield? How about Buddy Hield?
He is getting
old. It's the playoffs. That's what's happened. It's the playoffs.
Is Buddy a bad playoff guy?
Post was better than Buddy Hield.
You can probably expect that going forward. And, John, you asked a question. Is it good enough from Jalen? You would like more consistency, but this is what he is right now, and until proven otherwise, you have to expect the variations, the highs and lows. And if you can get the bounce back, you'll take it. But maybe this is the playoff run. And Kenny Smith said, I think we might have played the sound before the playoffs, that he thought Ime would turn Jalen Green into Jalen Brown. He would find consistency. That has not happened as of yet through two games. So we'll see
but he has
Kenny
to attack.
Right.
Don't you think he has to attack, Dell? He has to get to the basket.
I mean,
his
he attacked the rim.
Just be hot three-point shooting.
He attacked
the
rim
yesterday.
Even in game one, he just blew layups. I mean, there are times where he got to the rim and missed it. And Ime talked about it after game one. Jalen played in the crowd. The difference is today the shots went down from the perimeter. Or yesterday the shots went down from the perimeter, and some of those drives to the rim went in. That's the variation. Jalen's the epitome of make or miss leak.
Well,
if he's making shots, pretty much unguardable. And if he's missing shots, he'll shoot you out of the game.
And here's the thing about him admitting that the lights were and he was. He was playing harried. He was playing with his hair was on fire in game one. He was not calm. He was not, he had a beautiful stroke last night. If he played crappy again last night, he would have never admitted that the lights are too bright. Never.
You
play like that. Yeah, game one, it was.
I got out of my system.
Yeah. It's over. Well, we'll see in game three.
He's got to go on the road.
He can't.
The lights will be as bright as they've ever been on the road in Golden State.
Yeah, but last time he played there, he didn't play
good.
Great.
No,
he
doesn't. We talked about it all.
Yeah, but it's a team. But guys, we gotta remember something here. And John, you'll definitely remember this. He's not unlike Vernon Maxwell, who was a wildly up and down player, and they won a championship because they had a dream. If he doesn't play well, you just need Alperen to play well. Like, you don't, as long as he defends, because Vernon would still defend, as long as Jalen's still bought in on a defensive end. Now, to win at the highest level, Dream was one of the most special posts to ever play the game. You can't have Jalen always be up and down, but you can still win if Jalen is down. He just can't shoot 17 shots. Like, he just has to defend.
And
you got to find other guys. I mean, I think that's the real key, is how do you get guys to dial back? I know you want to shoot your way out of the slump, but sometimes you just have to be smart and say, let me go
like
get
Fred
more
was
shots.
Like Fred was last night. Two for eight. I'm fine with Fred 2 for 8. That's him. That's Fred 2 for 8. Would be nice if he was 3 for 8. That would be better. But 2 for 8, he doesn't take 19 shots. That's why the Rockets won, because he got the ball to the people. He played 42 minutes, and he only took 8 shots. That's the kind of Fred ball we need for the rest of this series. Get everybody else involved. Listen, if Jalen doesn't play well, Dylan Brooks could have a game. Jabari could have a game. Alpi could have a game. Amen could have a game. Tari could have a game. You don't have to have Jalen playing like that, but you're right. He can't take 15, 18 shots if he's bad. He's got to dial it back if he's bad. And let the other guys take over. The Rockets have won plenty of games when Jalen hasn't been great. Plenty of games.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
But we found out, at least in game one, and obviously it was
nobody was, though.
Nobody was, but the postseason does that to people. Not just Jalen. Everyone else has to not only has to play better, but the things they do best will be taken away from them. We heard it last night from Darius Garland. In the game where they held off the Heat to win, he was asked about what their plan of attack was to keep from turning the ball over. He goes, attack Tyler Hero. Attack their weak defenders. Tyler Hero had a great game offensively last night, scored 33 points. But in a game where you're trying to secure game two, we're going to put you in every action we can and get after you over and over again to get good offense. And what teams will do and what we saw in game one and game two, the Warriors decided some of these guys, we're going to force them to do things offensively they don't like to do. Jalen Green is kind of your X factor, where you can't really force him to do things because of what he can do off the bounce. If the shots go down, there's nothing you can do to handle him because he's too explosive to play up on, and if you don't play up on him and he's knocking down shots, you're cooked. So I get what you're saying. All these other guys can do things, but he is their key. I don't. Yeah. If they, whether it be this year, next year, whatever the configuration of the team is, he's the guy that can't be guarded when he's knocking down shots. It changes their trajectory. So that's why you want to see what you saw last night.
All right.
It's really true. Yeah. Like, you cannot, he can get by pretty much anybody in the league.
Anybody.
He was dishing. He was dishing clean. Interior passing, kickouts to the wing. Like, Jalen was fantastic. He is growing up. I'm changing, man. I just don't know if I want them to deal Jalen. I definitely don't want to just willy-nilly change the team up. But I used to be, well, you know, I'm starting to really like Jalen. I'm starting to really – I want him to play more consistently. I like Mad Max, too, but he would drive me crazy with the bad shots he would take.
Well, hopefully Jalen
doesn't
quit in the middle of a series.
No, he's got a kid to feed. He's got mouths to feed. He's got a kid now and a wife.
Yeah, right. All right, we got a break. I got to talk about
two kids. He's got two kids.
Live from the Chevron Championship. Listen, Game Day Men's Health is what I'm talking about right now. I love what they do. And I've seen the other. Oh, it's April, so we're going to give you a consultation for free. Game Day Men's Health says we'll always give you a consultation for free. We're not going to charge you to find out whether or not you're going to be a client, whether or not you need testosterone. We'll get your levels of testosterone, get them right there because we've got a lab right there. It takes about 15 minutes as opposed to the other guys who've got to send all the results in and then call you back and find out whether or not you're a candidate for testosterone replacement treatment. But it's not just about testosterone replacement treatment. They have all the peptides that can make you better everywhere, everything that you do, every goal that you have, they have something for you that will get you there. I don't know what your goals are. I mean, most of us are a little bit heavy. We'd like to take some weight off, but you might want to be stronger. You might want to be able to work out and bounce back better. You might be an athlete, and Game Day Men's Health could well help you get to your goals, whatever they are. GameDayMen'sHealth.com. The location's all over. They're wonderful. Love what they do for me. Love what they do for you. GameDayMen'sHealth.com.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the club at Carlton Woods for the Chevron Championship.
All right, welcome back. Not only did we have the Rockets last night, we had the Astros winning 3-1. Very disappointing outing by Ryan Goodstow, giving up three hits to Toronto. We told him two hits or you suck, and he gave up three, which was disgusting. But still got the win, gave up just one run. Astros had, 13 hits and three runs or 15 hits and three runs? It was just knocking a guy. Knock somebody in. Let's go. 13-3. 13 hits, three runs. They did not hit. Man, Zach DiCenzo is playing, bro.
Yeah, he didn't get to play the day before because he's a little banged up, but he was back in the lineup, and it's nice. Cam Smith is doing what he's doing, and
Yiner's starting to hit.
Yeah, the bats are picking up a little bit. As you mentioned, didn't lead to a lot of runs there, 2-for-11 with runners in scoring
position. Christian Walker's homer in every game now.
He was 5-for-5 in a stretch, 3-for-3 the night before, 2-for-2 to start off last night, so he's woken up a little bit. Things are picking up. Josh Hader still great. Another outing for him where he is spectacular. So things are coalescing.
Was a little worrisome, second and third with one out.
True, but did not give up the run. That was more of a Presley type of outing, but he got through it, and he continues to be
he's been awesome.
The best closer in the game right now. He's been really, really good for them, and he's been awesome. So at least right now, no complaints about the Astros. They sweep the Jays. That's 5 out of 6. Winning games at home, who would have thunk it?
Yep. Jordan with a sacrifice fly. I thought he got it all. Went to center field, and it was just a sack fly. But we'll take it. 3-1 was the final. The guys have the day off today, and then they start a weekend series. I forget where they are. They're headed to They're on the road for three at Kansas City. Then they come home for three against Detroit. Then on the road at Chicago and at Milwaukee. So Astros, with starting to look like a good baseball team. They're playing great defensively. You get a performance. It's hard to tell, though, because Toronto is so bad offensively. It's hard to tell whether or not these pitchers are really good or it's just the suck that is Toronto hitting. But they scored a total of two runs in the three games, and they got a total off of starting pitchers of seven hits in three games. That's just awful, Toronto. You're just bad. We'll see Wisniewski going against Lugo tonight. Fromber and Waka, Brown and Bubic in the finale on Sunday afternoon. So nice job. The Astros 13-11 now. You know, it's the way they start. I don't believe that this team is as good as the other teams, but as long as they keep getting pitching performances, they lost one of their best pitchers, Arrigetti, and they plug in Gusto, and he looks good. He does a nice job. So you got Wisniewski tonight, and then Fromber's got to get better, and Hunter Brown is one of the best pitchers in baseball. So here we go. John Chill going to be joining us at a half hour here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We've got Lance with Draft Day. Lance, we had Donovan Jackson talking about, you know, how big a day this is. This is a day that will change the lives of all of these young, the 32 young men that are going to be drafted tonight. It certainly changed the life of one Lawrence Taylor the day that he was drafted. He became a New York Giant out of North Carolina, and well, he doesn't remember much about that. Most guys will say this is one of the great days of my life. Here's Lawrence Taylor talking about his draft day back in the day.
Take us back to your draft day. What do you remember from the day that you were drafted?
Donald, I don't remember too much. I had 41 Coors Lights, so I couldn't tell you.
You remember 41?
Yeah, I remember 41.
You remember 41, but you don't remember what happened.
I don't really remember what happened. I just know it was an exciting time, but it wasn't like this. You know, it was old school, and I mean, I wasn't in New York or anything. I just caught it on TV like everybody else. So,
did you get a phone call? Did you have your family around you? Did you get a phone call? You had your family around you?
I had my drinking buddies with me.
I love that. Is that not the best way to celebrate being drafted into the NFL? 41 Coors Lights with all your boys drinking. I mean, this is great. You wear a red suit. You go up and you hug Roger Goodell. Whatevs. 41 Coors Lights? That's a Hall of Fame way to celebrate draft day.
It certainly was a harbinger of things to come for him.
Yeah. I mean, he was consistent.
I mean, he upgraded.
Well, yeah, and still the greatest defensive player in history throwing down 41 Coors Lights. That'll tell you if he didn't have his drug and alcohol problem, would he have been as good? I don't know. You don't know.
I don't like this hypothetical.
You don't know.
You're right. I don't know. It's a sliding door situation. Would he have been? Who do you think he would have been? Vernon Golston, if he didn't do drugs and drink a lot of beer.
You don't know.
You're right. I don't know. This is an example of something I do not know. Maybe it was his spinach like Popeye.
Lance, who is most likely today?
41.
Yeah, who's most likely to drink 41 beers today in this draft class?
Oh, the draft prospects. Probably Mason Graham or Will Campbell.
Will Campbell, LSU. You know, it's a party town.
I can see Will Campbell. I can see Mason Graham. Tyler Shuck is 25, so he's probably a beer, but he can't drink that much. He's a quarterback. It's going to have to be an O-lineman or D-lineman.
No. But nobody thought Lawrence Taylor could throw down that many. It wasn't like he was a great big fat offensive lineman.
He was an enthusiast.
He was in great shape.
Well, he's a Hall of Famer.
He's an enthusiast, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You think he would have been as good if he didn't do drugs and drink all that beer?
No. Yeah, Lance.
Yeah, Lance.
Yeah, I think he probably would have been even better.
You think that?
Although, I don't know how you can be better than that.
No, he was the greatest ever defender.
He probably would have had less problems with the police, I guess.
Well, yeah.
Is Coors Light a performance enhancer? Is that part of their cell?
It's not for John. It's not. It doesn't improve John's performance.
Kind of is.
That's true.
Kind of is. If you'll remember that the Super Bowl that year that was in Houston, 2004, I was at my best that week.
Were you?
With no sleep and just constant Coors Light.
I wasn't on the shows before my time. Lance, can you confirm that he was at his best?
Every day. You ever seen those mechanical bulls where you hang on and it starts going faster and faster and people
yes.
either get their face smashed on it or they get thrown way off? That's what every show was like with John. It was like being on a mechanical bull where you didn't know which direction it was going to go. You knew you were going to get thrown at some point. You're hoping not to get hurt. John was a mechanical bull on 10 from the very beginning. And usually beginning of the show was the worst. The first segment was like, oh, my
really
God.
Hungover.
And then when Drunk John and Jay Moore were on at the same time, good Lord.
I remember we had Jim Nance on. I felt bad about it. I didn't remember much of it, but we had Jim Nance on too. And I felt like maybe this isn't the professionalism I should have. Maybe,
no, especially
maybe
in front of Jim Nance.
You had remorse? That's a surprise.
Nah, it didn't last long.
I didn't think so.
I grabbed another Coors Light. Let's go. That's all. Coors Light is a performance enhancer.
Remember there were two guys that almost got into a fight? It was Corby whatever, or it was one of the guys from the Dallas from the Ticket was trying to be a smart aleck to everyone on Radio Row and make fun of him or whatever. And then that guy from Baltimore who owns his own
show. Oh, yeah, he owned the station.
Yeah, he owned the station. I can't remember the name, but he's
he wanted to fight him.
No, well, what he did was he got on his air and started dropping F-bombs, like 40 F-bombs in a row, because he knew that they would be screwed. They'd have to dump it 1,000 times. And that's all he did. The guy was in the mic. He had the mic trying to embarrass him. And so what he did was he grabbed his microphone and said, F-F-F-F-F-F, suck my F-F, all this stuff. And then they were like, oh! And then the guy with the mic got all pissed off, and it got a little, and we're just sitting there. I'm like, big deal. I'm dealing with John. Y'all don't even know what this is like.
Hey, could have been, I mean, you had the Josh Innes thing with Seth Payne.
He's have guys trying to be a little sparkly on Radio Row. But how about when Jay Moore dropped Map of Hawaii on the show?
Good Lord. That was awesome. Yeah.
I loved it. Yeah. I secretly loved it. That's all I want to say. If you weren't there, we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah, if you don't remember.
That was one where I just thought, and we were on, you know, it's one thing if we were on 1560, or maybe even now. This was on 610 at the time. We were like, oh my gosh, I don't know if you should say that.
Well, yeah, did you see Tracy Morgan the other day at the Knicks game?
Yeah, what about him?
And Jack Black? Have you seen Jack Black at the Lakers game?
I saw him on Saturday night.
They kind of let themselves go a little bit.
Well, Tracy was in the hospital in a coma, basically. He got really jacked up. Yeah, Jack Black's living his best life right now.
He really is. And I can't believe he was always going to be, he always had that gene that was going to, but man, he just said, F it.
But when Tracy Morgan first started comedy, I watched him on a show called Snaps on HBO, it was 3-on-3, and they were just ranking on each other back and forth. Your mother's so – and Tracy had a Michigan jersey on, like a Fab Five jersey on. He had a hat with a propeller on, and he was big now. Tracy was a big guy back in the day. And then he lost a bunch of weight when he was on 30 Rock. Dang, Tracy, I'm seeing a picture of him with it's all edged up, and it's like white line. It's a weird haircut here.
Now, Dell, how much do you like golf now?
Did somebody bring him food?
No, it's not that. I'm not a cheap date. What he's showing me is a woman
she's playing golf.
In a golf simulator with a really short skirt on.
I bet it's somebody who doesn't play professionally. I bet
probably
it's
not. Is she here at the tournament today, John?
Uh-oh.
Is she going to be part?
Be great.
When's she teeing off?
Be great if she was.
When's she teeing off? I don't see. Is that Anna Norfist?
No, Norquist?
No, it's not her.
No, it's not.
Let's see. Lexi Thompson, was that her?
It wasn't Lexi.
Okay, no. then why are you quite
Lexi's a saint.
Showing me. I'm trying to figure out if that woman's going to be at the tournament today.
I would hope so.
Well, I don't think so.
It'd be great if she was here. Is this your favorite trap moment? Laramie Tunsil doing the bong? Is that
has to be.
Is that a great moment in draft history?
I was in Chicago. I wasn't on. I was only on the air the last day, but I was. That's when they used to fly me to the draft. Well, they did for that year, And I was there, and I was in the audience in Chicago where everything was going down, and I was next to my editor. And there was a bunch of writers in there, and we're sitting there, and Andy Fenelon goes, my boss at the time goes, oh, my gosh. He goes, look at this. I'm like, who is that? He goes, that's Laramie Tunsil. I said, where did you get this? He said, it's on Laramie's account, social media account. It's his Twitter account. I think it was Twitter. And I said, is this real? He goes, I mean, that's before deepfakes. And he goes, yeah, I mean, it looks like it. I'm like, why would he put this out there? Why would he post this literally 10 minutes, 12 minutes before the draft? And it caused him to fall, like, you know, to the Dolphins. But
it did wonders for the Dolphins.
I talked to a team. I can't remember who the team was. I have to go back and look at it, who said we were going to draft him. And then the video came out, and we couldn't draft him. And he fell, and the Dolphins picked him. But
Dolphins
that was
care.
The wild. And it turned out, if you don't remember the story, it was an ex-boyfriend of his mom somehow got a hold of a social media account and just held on to the information for as long as he didn't say anything about
it. 15 minutes before the draft, he put it up.
Yeah, because he and Laramie got into a physical confrontation at one point, you know, before. And this ex-boyfriend waited until 15 minutes before the draft, and then boom. Send.
What That's not even close to my favorite video. Of
what
the
is?
Draft. Mine is CeeDee Lamb taking his phone away from his girlfriend.
Right.
Give me that phone. That's my favorite video.
Grabs the phone and he snatches it away.
Back.
He's not with her anymore, I'm assuming.
I have no idea, but it's the thing I always remember about CeeDee Lamb, because he's never going to win anything with the Cowboys. But that, I don't care how well he does as a pro. What he did that night. One of my favorite
that
players
is,
of all
that's
time.
That's a great, great. We got a break. 713-78 break on the other side. Right now, though, we're talking about Billy Brown. We're talking about plumbing. We're talking about your house. We're talking about your business. We're talking about you making sure that everything is good. And if it's not, if you have an emergency, I mean, you're like, I don't need a plumber. Well, you kind of do. If you haven't cleaned out your tankless water heater in a while, there's a lot of residue that's building up and probably really slowing down your water flow. So you need to look at that. But I don't know about other maintenance. Billy Brown could tell you exactly what you need to do. But when you need Billy Brown when you got an emergency, when a pipe breaks or your toilet doesn't work, that's when you need Billy the most. 281-488-6238, Lance. 281-488-6238. That's right, John, because Billy Brown will come, and he's going to fix that. So don't tweet us and say, hey, what's that? What's Billy's number? No, you got to put this in your phone now just in case you need it. 281-488-6238. He's the best. They're the best. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Follow us on socials at ESPN Houston, and don't forget to have our push notifications on.
You gotta change your push notifications. Look.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Club at Carlton Woods in the Woodlands.
All right, welcome back to the Chevron Championship. Dell and I are here, 3 under already through 5. So they are. This is when you're going to score. And Dell just commented on how the young things that are in here.
I did not say young things.
You said
no. I said golf media appears younger than I thought. There are men and women in here who are in their 20s. I didn't know golf media treated that young.
That. Look at that young thing.
I've never said that because that is an old guy thing to say, and I would never say that. I've never said.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, that's what you think. That's not what I said.
That's what I heard. Okay. So,
wow.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, it is. This is not how it looked at the Masters.
At the Masters.
No,
okay.
This is not how it looked. There's a lot of younger people that are covering the LPGA first major of the year.
Gotcha.
Than you would have found at Augusta National, I'm sure. I'm certain of it. But we are here at the Chevron. Lance is in L.A. for the NFL draft. You can watch him.
Do you think Lance is running on fumes?
I think I hope he's not, like, laying in the bed with his face, you know, how he was sitting when he was sick, that picture. I hope he's not like that.
I think he's worn himself out. And this is the biggest night of the year for him.
I mean, it is. This is his Oscars.
This is his Oscars.
Right.
He better be ready to go. So you think he's taking this show lightly and resting up.
And already he looks like crap.
Well,
I mean, okay, so.
It's bad lighting in that hotel room. Sean, is Lance back yet?
No, he's not.
Oh, he's not. Okay.
Where is he? I left his camera up on stream, but it's just his empty hotel room.
Where is he? Did he fall asleep?
He said, I need five.
Did he go lay in the bed and fall asleep?
He texted, I need five.
I saw that. And then he, what is that? The bathroom?
So maybe if we were like the Shaq show with Charles, we'd put a porta potty in his hotel.
I need five.
Seems like you need more than that.
Yeah, it's been more than five.
Okay. Lance, let's go. Pick it up. Pick it up. Get out of there, clean yourself, and get back, okay?
Get a dude wipe or baby wipe, whatever you're going to use, and pick it up, and let's go. We got a show to do.
We are here live at the Chevron. Astros win, Rockets win. Both look – the Astros are looking better, man. They're just looking better. Their defense is better. They had a 13-hit performance, which is unusual for them, but they still only scored three runs. And it was still a battle. Hey, Josh Hader has been he's been great. And he did have a couple of runners on last night with second and third with one out, but he was able to get it out of this. And I still had faith that he was going to get out of it. You know, he has blown a few saves here, but, man, that dude is – filthy. Guys hate going up there against him with the game on the line because he is something. He is special. He is pitching great right now. It was a little bit much, a $95 million contract he got. I think it was 95.
And after year one, it felt like, that's not what we're looking for. But so far in year two, he's been everything you would have wanted from a guy in that spot. He was good last year, but when you see that type of contract, you go, you got to be lights out all the time, which is unrealistic to ask of anyone. But he's been that really since probably, what, game one? Since very early, he's been a dude who you can't touch. And it's important considering the Astros don't score runs.
And listen, that one day off, and he and Joe Espada talked about it. He said, I'm going to give him off on Monday. And then he'll come back, and then he'll have another day off on Thursday. Well, Christian Walker comes back with a homer, and is looking really more comfortable at the plate. Maybe that's all he needed was that one day off. I'll tell you who doesn't need a day off right now is Zach DiCenzo. That dude is on it. He is on it. And you know what? You got to keep throwing him out there. You know, Cam Smith's got to play, but there's no reason that Zach DiCenzo can't get out to left field and put Jose Altuve back at second base.
Now, you know the deal, right? Jose Altuve is a much less of a problem in left than he is at second. So how? And they said,
but if you want to get Zach DiCenzo in,
yeah, now you may have an option where you maybe are forced to put Altuve at second.
Well, here's another thing that they're talking about this: Cam Smith in center. I mean, if you don't have enough on the kid's plate,
just move him to center field too. I know you've never played the outfield. We'll put you in left, and now we're right. Now we're going to put you in center.
The Astros organization, does that strike you as an organization that think you can't just play center willy-nilly at any point?
No, they do it all the time.
They do it all the time for years.
Yeah, it's what they do. Oh, you have never played center? Don't worry about it. Get on out there. I could see Cam Smith in center, though. I could see him in center. If you know, Jake is going to go on his typical Jake run here.
How fast is Cam Smith? Is Cam Smith fast? He is fast, isn't he?
Yeah,
I mean, he feels like he's pretty fast.
Yeah, he's fast.
I don't want to just make assumptions.
No, he looks fast to me, doesn't he?
Listen,
it's all about getting a break on the ball, though. And he's doing that right now in right field. I don't know in center if the hardest thing about center is in or back. You know, are you coming in on a ball or are you going back on a ball? You can tell if it comes off the bat left or right. But in and out is going to be the hardest thing. Just throw him out there. Put DiCenzo in right. Put Cam Smith in center.
Don't just throw him out there. Let him work in it like a real organization, which the Astros are. Let him work on it in the offseason. Then put him in spring training. Let him play a lot of center field. Don't just on the fly do it.
Just throw him out.
That's not fair to a rookie.
Yeah, it is. It's fine. He adapted well enough in right field. He can do center, too. Let's go.
Can he be a setup man? What else can he do?
I ain't taking Zach DiCenzo's bat out of the lineup right now.
Not at the moment.
Dude is on fire. He's on fire.
So
why would you take that bat out?
What did you just say?
So is Yiner.
So Yiner's hitting now, though.
Okay.
Yiner's he is starting now. To hit.
Yeah.
Yiner's hitting.
And by the way, he's got a better arm than Caratini. Oh, that's awful. That is really, really awful right now. Caratini's arm. Caratini, he's going to cool off too, by the way. We need Yiner. We need Yiner hitting. We need Zach DeCenzo in the lineup. We need Christian Walker hitting the way he is. I love the way Paredes is. Jordan seems to be on it a little bit better now. Team's coming around. 13-11 now after starting 7-9. Not bad. Let's break. John Chill, top of the hour. You got a little underdog.
Yeah, I'm talking underdog fantasy because underdog fantasy is where you go for your playoff extenders. And they got this for basketball. If you're playing along, I mean, the boost went from 40 to 60%. That's insane. They're giving you more money. All you got to do is pick a couple winners. It's not that hard. You go higher or lower in the statistics. They have typically like 17 different statistics are listed for the players in the playoffs. And so I'm looking at it right now. For example, I'm just going to give you an example right now. In basketball tonight, in a playoff game tonight, I'll just pull up Kawhi Leonard, right? So they've got double-double. They've got, you want to go higher on double-double, that's 4.11 times. So it's a multiplier. It's going to give you huge payouts if he hits a double-double. They've got points in the first 5 minutes, 3.5. You want to go higher or lower. First quarter points, rebounds, and assists. First three-point attempt, is it a make or a miss? They've got so many different things you can look at and choose from that you're gonna love it because you're going to find something like, oh, I absolutely know this one because I watch a lot of basketball. And even if you don't watch a lot of basketball, you're going to be watching it in playoffs maybe tonight, so play along with it. And they've got playoff extender boosters. So if you keep playing along in all these games, your boosts will keep going higher and higher and higher. It's a chance for you to make more and more money. You can make up to 1,000 times your original play, and you can play for as little as a dollar. Now, what you have to do is you deposit. So download the app, Underdog Fantasy. The app is awesome, very easy to navigate. And use promo code Lance when you make your first deposit. You got up to $1,000 in bonus cash is available to you, so you're going to get free money back to play with, and you got a chance to make real money with your basketball knowledge. Do not miss out. It makes the games much more fun to watch and play along with. You must be 18 or older. In terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5. You're back to John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Club at Carlton Woods in the Woodlands.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live at the Chevron Championship, where 3-under right now through 5 is leading the way. Oh, Nelly Korda is on the course right now, probably in her finishing up her first hole. She started at 8:30, so it's 8:53. So if you are in the area and you want to see Nelly Korda this morning, the sun is starting to shine a little bit. The course is very playable, no wind, and soft, which means that they can throw darts at these greens. So this is the time to come and see some low scores. They're out already. They're good. They're really good players. If you're a golf fan, this is something to see, and it's the first major of the year, so it's up. The intensity is great.
So you know how these things go. We're at hole 9. If I wanted to see Nelly Korda, how long will it take for her to get here? We are at almost 9 o'clock. Will she be here by noon?
Did she start on 1 or 10? She started 8:30. She started on number 1, I believe. At 9, it'll take 10:30, 11 o'clock.
So 11 in the middle of my show. So I will pause my show
to see
when
Nelly.
She's on the green. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Sean, you take over at 10:30.
Yeah.
I want to watch Nelly Korda
take
off. Thank you.
Apparently, there was a bit of a controversy last night. The crowd was chanting, F you, Draymond.
But what the full word? Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
What's the controversy? Sounds
well.
Accurate.
Steve Kerr didn't like it.
Don't care.
The guy has kids. Remember, so? Steve Kerr says, "Remember,
the guy has kids."
You heard him.
He's got kids.
Act like a father. Then how about you be a good example to your kids? Show. What about did Steve mention the things that Draymond does to people, kicking them in the testicles, putting them in chokeholds? Does he still have kids when he's doing those things?
Did Steve Kerr have a comment? Then for Jose Altuve. when he goes to New York and they're chanting FL Altuve.
Why would he have a comment for that?
Well,
because
he has kids.
It's wrong. He's wrong. Jose Altuve has like 17 kids.
Because so when Steve Kerr has something to say, which will lead to nothing, about his guy and why he would like better treatment of him, he should extrapolate and talk about every guy who gets poor treatment in sports.
Yeah. Well,
if he's got time for that.
Wait a minute. If he's going to comment on his guy, he should comment on everybody.
Everybody. Everybody. Okay.
Yeah.
Who else should Steve Kerr be running to the media to defend? Who's
well, he defended Harvard
treatment
the other day, which is a an odd one to defend.
I think Steve Kerr, seeing as how you talk about Dak Prescott, should call you to the carpet, since that's what he's supposed to do. Every time someone gets bad treatment, Steve Kerr needs to be out in front of it and say, hey, he's got kids.
Well, this is a specific FU, and that's what happened to Jose Altuve, too. Okay, so
maybe Joe Espada should do that.
I think he should condemn all FUs, which I think he did in a little bit.
He doesn't think it's good for anyone to receive
treatment. There's kids in the crowd. And by the way, aren't we classier than that?
No. You just had evidence last night. We're not classy. You listen to the guy who's in L.A. He was like, so? Who cares? No, that's what they want. This is the Warriors.
We can't be doing that.
It's not classy.
I'm not a fan of the Yankees doing it. I'm not a fan of us doing it either. Listen,
no, I don't love
there's
it. There's
kids
but I understand
at the game,
it.
Bro. There's kids at the game.
What do you understand?
Could be because kids could be there.
The man has kids. That's what Steve Kerr
and
said.
So? How about your kids are there? How about the person chanting
like I said,
you?
John, does he think about Draymond's kids when he? What about all the stuff that Draymond does
when
to other
he kicks,
players? Is that a
when
good
he kicks
model?
People in the nuts? Does
yeah.
he know people
is that worse
have nuts
than
too?
Words? Is that
See,
worse
got,
than the words?
You guys need to look at the message that Draymond's sending. He's against overpopulation. He's kicking people in the nuts to keep them from having more kids.
Yeah.
He's a hero,
working.
I think.
What's
working?
Like
yeah. Less kids on this surf. He's a hero.
John Chill is a hero, and he's joining us on the other side. We'll find out what's going on at the DraftKings Sportsbook. I love it, love it, love it at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. We will do that on the other side. Right now, though, we're talking about Chastain Ford. We're talking about you getting into that Ford SUV or pickup at the best price you can find at employee pricing. And employee pricing means something unless it doesn't, okay? What exactly are the other guys going to do for you? Are the other guys going to give you employee pricing and then go, well, you need tinted windows. Well, you need leather seats. Well, I know what your budget is, but we're going to have to exceed that. That's not the way they ever do it at Chastain Ford. They're going to get you into that vehicle the way that you want it, customized perfectly for you, not what they want. You're looking for the best way to get into that Ford SUV or truck. It's Chastain Ford. Businesses know it. You should know it. And you don't stay in business for 80-plus years unless you do it great, and they do it great. At ChastainFord.com. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. Tell them that you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.